In his latest commentary, reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff trains his attention on the funnies in his local newspaper.
Reading the comics in my local paper recently, I came across three strips that I think are worth examining with a scientific eye. First, The Baby Blues from November 28th shows the father Daryl watching a nature program with a baby whose name is Wren. The television show's narrator describes a saltwater crocodile attacking a young water buffalo. This strip introduced a week-long series about how much Wren enjoys bloodthirsty animal shows. Now, my initial reaction to this crocodile water buffalo strip was skeptical. I wondered if the habitats of saltwater crocs overlap with the normal range of water buffalo, so off to the internet I went. Now, I'll confess that my preconception was that the ranges would not overlap because I thought water buffalo were an African animal. It turns out that my thinking was exactly wrong because I was confusing water buffalo with the African buffalo. Now, both the saltwater crocodile and the water buffalo inhabit India and other parts of Southeast Asia. Saltwater crocs are the largest living reptiles and can be more than 6 meters long and weigh more than 1,000 kilograms. They are capable of killing and eating fully grown water buffalo, so a baby one would be a relatively easy target. Despite their name, though, saltwater crocs spend a significant amount of time in estuaries and other freshwater habitats. They tend to spend the dry season when the rivers are at low water and the ocean. Two editions of Close to Home caught my eye the very same week. First, also on the 28th, an orthodontist claims that after a few more sets of braces, he will have put on enough to circle the globe. A map on the wall behind him shows the progress of a horizontal line off one side of the map and continuing on the other side to nearly close the loop in North America. The problem I have with this image is that the map looks like a Mercator projection, which dramatically overrepresents the size of landmasses far from the equator. Lines of latitude all run parallel to the equator, but only the equator is the full diameter of the Earth. I estimate that his line on his map goes through Portland, Oregon, which is at a latitude of about 45 degrees north. That means his wire around the world would only be about 7/10 as long as the one around the equator, although they would appear equally long on a Mercator projection. The very next day, Close to Home appears to show two NASA astronauts having a problem on a space station, and they're calling for technical support. My concern is that this strip lacks internal consistency. The two astronauts float, as they would do in the free-fall environment of a space station, while a liquid, perhaps water, leaks out of a console and falls to the floor. If the setting is an orbiting space shuttle or the International Space Station, the leaking fluid should also be floating. In fact, the liquid wouldn't even form oblong drops that are shown in the panel, because surface tension would make the drops nearly spherical. Finally, no treatment of science in the comics would be complete without noting the importance of Gary Larson's The Far Side. Many of his science-inspired strips are about ecology or anthropology, but they were still tremendously popular in the physics department when I was an undergraduate. Larson is probably the only cartoonist with three different insects named after him: a louse, Strigophilus Gary Larsoni, a butterfly, Ceratoterga Larsoni, and a beetle, Gary Larsonis. Science teachers who peruse the comics pages can find examples of both good and bad science to use in their classrooms. Links to various comics are available in the online version of this column.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.